Tonight we're going to talk about the enemy. The enemy. Who our enemy really is. Verse 10, would you stand with me when you arrive at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise You, knowing that You are the one and only true God, that in You alone there is life and eternal life. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we praise You and thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, as the propitiation for our sin. Thank You, Lord, that You've made that salvation available to whosoever will call upon You. Tonight, Lord, I pray for Your guidance as we look into Your Word. Father, prepare us for the battles that we may face this week, that we will face this week. For Lord, we know we have an enemy, and that enemy is more powerful than we are. He's more shrewd than we are. But Father, we belong to You, and there is no greater power than the power that You have. You are Almighty God, for we look to You for wisdom and strength to faithfully serve You in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm not going to tell you anything that you do not know, or I don't think I'll tell you anything you do not know, but I want to remind you of some things that probably you haven't considered in quite some time. And we're going to start, as I said, we're going to examine verse 12 a little closer, which says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And my first, and I think I made this statement this morning, but I'm going to make it again tonight. People are not the enemy. Okay? People are not the enemy. And the reason I say that is because we complain about people a lot, right? I mean, you know, we complain about the liberals, we complain about the political parties, Democrats and Republicans, we complain about our bosses, we complain about the people that we work with, and we think, boy, if God would just take care of those people, we'd be all right. It's not those people. It's the influence behind those people. That is the problem. People are not the enemy. As a matter of fact, the word demon, which we're going to talk about tonight, demons, it really, one of the definitions of that word is one who influences and one who divides. And that's who we're fighting. I've been in ministry. December will be 30 years that I've been in ministry. And I've come to realize that I've never had a problem with people. I've had a problem with the influence of demonic forces that they have played upon the lives of people. That's why Paul said that we battle, or our war is against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And I want to break that down. So that you understand who we're fighting and the characteristics of who we're fighting. You know that first of all, who we're fighting is Satan, right? We're going to talk about him a little bit later on. But these are the characteristics of who Satan is. That word principalities, it means beginnings or origin. And the profound nature of that word leads us to the understanding that we battle against the one who literally, in our language, the one who invented wickedness. I want you to think about that. When somebody invents something, they're pretty much the master of what they invented, right? So our battle is against the one who invented evil and wickedness itself. That's what this means when it said we battle principalities and powers. That word powers means jurisdiction, or the one who has jurisdiction and authority over wickedness and evil. Everything about Satan is evil. And he's good at it. So much so that he invented it. Excuse me. A little touch of a cold today, but he's the inventor of evil. He is the authority of evil. He is the ruler of darkness. The one holding power over the darkness. And several times in the Bible we're told that people's minds have been darkened by the god of this world. He's the guy that's causing the problem. Spiritual host of wickedness. That word host is army. If you see it's italics, but I think it's in that basic meaning. You are battling an army of evil in spiritual places, in the heavenlies, right? And so this study is about us getting to know what we're facing and getting to understand that the battle is not with people. You know, we get mad at people. Don't get mad at people. Get mad at the one who's influencing the people. Satan himself is causing the problem. If you want to know what's wrong with the United States of America, it's the devil. Right? That's the long and short of it. He's having an influence on our culture, on our society, and he's leading us down a destructive path. He works through people. And if you have to understand that he can even work and influence saved people. Have you ever seen a church blow up? You know, scripture after scripture, Jesus gave the command that we're to love one another. What happens when we don't love one another? Well, what happens is Satan's got his little influence in there. And he's influenced some person. Instead of exercising love, they're exercising bitterness. Because that's what he does. If he can get you to be consumed with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, he wins. If he can get you to be discontent and stir up your church family, he wins. If he can cause you to be immoral or in an immoral relationship, he wins. And he does it by influence. You have to understand, I don't think people get this part. Satan is real. Okay? Satan is real. We want to dismiss him as being some mythological creature that really doesn't exist, but he's just represented by this red little creature with horns out of his head and a pointed tail. No, that's not who Satan is. Satan is a created angel. He is a fallen angel because he rebelled against God, trying to ascend himself above God himself. He was in the Garden of Eden. You know, understand, he's been around. He was in the Garden of Eden, led Adam and Eve in the first sin. He was in the wilderness tempting Jesus for 40 days. When Jesus fasted those 40 days, Satan was there saying, if you're hungry, turn these rocks into bread. You think Jesus would have said, Satan doesn't really exist? Absolutely not. Satan entered Judas Iscariot just before he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan filled the heart of Ananias to lie about the offering that he gave. Understand. You know, and I don't know, perhaps we just don't preach on Satan enough and to make us stop and think that you have a real enemy. And if you are a child of God, There is nothing that would please Him more than to destroy your testimony, to destroy your mind, to destroy your life. That's His goal. Not only is Satan real, he has an army of demons. And demons are not just something they make movies about. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, a demon-oppressed mute man came to Jesus to be healed. Matthew 17, 18, Jesus cast out demons from an epileptic. Mark 7, 26, the daughter of a Syrophoenician woman had a demon. You see, and we read that and we say, yeah, but that doesn't happen anymore. Why do you think our society, why do you think our world is like it is? It's still going on. People are still demon-possessed and demon-oppressed. Hollywood has just made it to the point that we think the demonic realm is some movie of fiction thing. No! I honestly cringe every time I see a horror movie. Because I don't think people understand what they're watching. Where do you think that comes from? It's demonic. Where do you think they got the idea? It's demonic. The Exorcist, The Conjuring, The Shining, Amityville Horror, Walking Dead. You know, I don't get the popularity of that TV show, The Walking Dead. I've never watched it. But I can't seem to watch TV without seeing an advertisement about it. I don't care about The Walking Dead. I don't want no part of The Walking Dead. I don't want any parts of demons, you know? But Hollywood is painting these pictures to get us used to the idea, oh, demons are okay. They're not real. They're just fiction. Listen, they're real and they're ruining people's lives. Nowhere is there any kind of evidence or scripture that said God has ceased demon activity. Right? He has not stopped it. As a matter of fact, He's not going to stop it until the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Then we talk about Him putting a stop to it. You see, I think Christians today, we just need to understand that there is a spiritual realm out there that is very real, that is ruining the lives of people, and that wants to ruin the lives of Christians. Much less the lives of the unbelievers. Because see, there are two things that demons do. They oppress and they possess. Let's talk about demon possession. The good news for the child of God is that if you are truly saved, you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. That God took residence in you, right? He lives in you. Therefore, God will not share His residence with a demon, okay? You're sealed by the Spirit of God. You cannot be demon-possessed, but you can be demon-oppressed. But for the lost person, the news is not so good. You have no one living inside you. You're open for business. And you're a target for satanic possession and demon possession. Oh, Brother Doug, you're just trying to scare me. Demons don't really, you know, no, they don't do that sort of, listen. Yes, they do. How does someone walk into a school and open fire on children and kill children? That's not normal. It's not normal. It's demonic possession. How do people walk into a theater and open fire and kill people that are innocent? And that's demonic possession. You take Hitler. How could someone kill millions of Jews? He was demon possessed. See, you have to understand, these things are not ordinary behavior for human beings. It's demonic possession. Demons taking control of human beings. You say, well, now, wait, Brother Doug, they have psychological problems. No, they don't have psychological problems. They have demonic problems. Right?
They have a spiritual problem. And I don't think the church today really gets that concept. But let me ask you something.
I said, Brother Doug, you're going off the deep end here. No, I'm not. Right? I'm just speaking real. Have you ever been in a place or around people that you could feel the evil? Why do you think that is? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. And you're automatically put on alert. This place, these people are not right. I think everybody's been there that's a child of God, probably. I've been there numerous times that I just thought, I want no part of this. I'm leaving. Not only can demons possess, but they oppress. Here's our problem, okay? As children of God, here's our problem. Give you an example. Job. You remember the story of Job? That was not some made-up fictional character. That really happened. You know the story how Satan challenges Job's faith, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job and his righteousness?" And you remember what Satan said? God, the only reason that Job is faithful to you is because you built a hedge around him. You've protected him. You remove that hedge and I guarantee you he'll curse you, Satan said. So God gave him permission. I mean, he gave him absolute permission. And ultimately, the only restriction God put on Satan was you can't kill him. And so what did Satan do? Well, Satan started by attacking Job and taking his possessions. He lost his oxen and his donkeys, and a bunch of his servants were killed. Then he lost his sheep, and fire from heaven came down and consumed his sheep. Chaldeans raided and took Job's camels, killing more of his servants. Then a wind came and blew down his house. And here was the ultimate. The wind came and blew down the house upon his sons and his daughters. Ultimately, what happened was Job lost everything, even down to his health. Now, the world today would say, well, if, you know, why would God allow such a thing? It wasn't God. It was not God that was doing that to Job. And when things happen in our country and we look and tragedy strikes, don't blame God. There is an enemy out there. His name is Satan. He has an army of demons who wants to destroy people because he is fallen and he knows his end. And he wants to take everyone to destruction with him that he possibly can. Job even lost his health. He was attacked. Satan attacked him with painful boils, the Bible says. And his wife said, Job, curse God and die. I mean, he lost it all. And his friends turned on him. And everything that happened to Job, everything. It was not God's doing. It was Satan's doing. It was demonic oppression. Job wasn't the only guy. There's the Apostle Paul. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We know the Apostle Paul. He was a faithful servant of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul, being the man of God that he was, said, a messenger of Satan buffeted him. Now, you have to get the definitions here. That word, first of all, that word thorn, he said, I had a thorn in the flesh. Literally, it's a stake. We think of thorn as being this little bitty sliver of a thing getting your finger. No, that word thorn literally is a stake. Something that you would stab a man with. It hurt. And I think this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was physical, and I think it was painful because of the description here. He said the thorn in the flesh came from a messenger of Satan. You know what the Greek word for messenger is there? Angelos. An angel of Satan. You see, Paul knew these guys were real. He was under demonic oppression. And that demon was sent for the purpose, it says, to buffet me. That word buffet means to strike with the fist, to beat. Paul's oppression was just repeated. It was just like daily he was being beaten by this messenger, this angel of Satan. As I said, I believe this was very physical. I believe it was very painful. But look how Paul handled it. Here's the... You see, you'd say, well, Brother Doug, you know, what's the point to it all? Here's the point. We can be oppressed as God's people. But the good news is that we can still have victory. Look how Paul handled it. Verse 9. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Satan never buffets you. You get to that point where you just feel beaten up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't let Satan drive you away from the Lord. Instead, back up. And take a lesson from the Apostle Paul. And boast in the infirmity. Praise God, I can go through this for the glory of God. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. Paul said, I'm going to rejoice in all that stuff. Why? Because I'm going to use this buffeting or this daily beating that I'm enduring, I'm going to use it to glorify the God of heaven. Yes, we may have to deal with oppression. But glory to God, we don't have to give in to the oppression. That's the good news. Listen, such demon beatings are still happening today. That's why preachers quit. That's why servants quit. That's why church members quit. And sometimes it's hard to understand, Lord, why am I going through this? But Lord, this hurts. Here's what you need to do to diagnose where you are. God corrects. Okay? If I stray from the Lord, if I'm a child of God, God will chastise me or correct me to get me back where I'm supposed to be. Right? And let's all be honest. We all need a little chastisement here and there, right? To get us back on course. But Satan oppresses. He'll put you in that position where you absolutely don't understand why you're going through this. He might rob you of your health, and you might get that diagnosis from the doctor that says you've got 6 months to live. You're going to die. Get your affairs in order. And you're going to say, but Lord, why? Why? And if you can look at your life and you've not drifted from God, there's not sin plaguing your life, back up and buckle up, buttercup. For the glory of God, you don't have to give in to the oppression. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the demons of hell are unleashed upon you. But I pray that if that time ever comes to any of us, we can have the attitude of Paul and glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. I've seen people that I think, man, I don't know how they're going through that. When the reality is, yeah, I know how they're going through that. They're God's people. God gives us strength. He provides what we need. When we can't take another step, He'll carry us. His grace is always sufficient in our hour of need. Yes, and listen, I'm not preaching this to depress you or anything like that. I'm preaching this to encourage you. Because sometimes there's just hard times. Sometimes we are attacked by Satan. And sometimes we don't feel like we can press on any farther. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Everybody turn there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Here's your go-to scripture. How are you going to make it through? How are you going to overcome this temptation? How are you going to overcome this oppression? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. You got to remember who you belong to. Right? Satan may be beating you daily, but you remember who you belong to. Right? You belong to God as a child of God. And you have overcome them. I like the way that's put. Victory's yours. You're going to win. You have already overcome them. Right? You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Why? Because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Though King James says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I love that. I may have to endure hardship for a season. I may have to endure pain for a night. But praise God, joy comes in the morning. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't ever lose that. I say 1 John 4, 4, one of our go-to scriptures. When you don't understand, just back up and say, Lord, I don't understand, but greater is He who is in me than who is in the world. When you feel like, I just don't think I can take another step, greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. And glory to God, let me just remind you, we win. We win. Not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. We are winners. Listen, life hasn't gotten good yet, right? There are times that I hear people say, well, this is what life is all about. This is the good life. No, you haven't experienced the good life yet if you're a child of God. That day's coming. Glory to God. We win. Because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. I wanted you to understand tonight. And maybe it would help all of us to understand as we face next week whatever we're going to face and whatever we have to deal with. Yes, there are demons. Yes, they're real. Yes, we have an enemy. His name is called Satan. He's the devil. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. You know? But greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. We're going to win. You're going to win. Don't let Him discourage you. Don't let Him deceive you. Don't let Him win. Right? Don't let Him win. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, be encouraged. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you're in trouble. Why? Because you're that opportunity of demon possession. I'll say that again. If God's not living in you,
you're an open invitation for a demon. And yes, I believe with all my heart, just as much as I believe in Jesus, I believe that Satan and his armies are fighting in this world today. So what do you do about it? I know. You make Jesus Christ your Savior. You see, an amazing thing happens when you call upon Jesus Christ. That amazing thing is that He moves in. And you're sealed by the Spirit of God. And you're held by the Father. And Jesus put it this way, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's if you're a child of God, isn't that good news? It doesn't matter if Satan himself attacks. He can't get you out of the hand of God. But if you're not a child of God, oh listen, you better take care of it tonight. Please. Take care of it tonight. I'm like the Apostle Paul. If in this life only I have hope, I'm of all men most miserable. If this is as good as it gets for you, beloved, you're in trouble. But if you make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, oh, we have better days to look forward to. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I want to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Savior when we have this invitation. If you don't know Jesus, will you come? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the knowledge of Your Word, and we thank You that Your grace is sufficient. In the hard times, and Lord, when we're under attack, and when we don't understand, the thing that we do understand is that You are greater, and You live in us, than he who is in the world. We thank You for the power to overcome the devil. We thank You for the encouragement that, Lord, we will indeed win. And now I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.